This morning the sermon will be somewhat shorter than usual, but we have a text, and it is found in the second book of Chronicles, and chapter 17. And verse 6. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 6. Now, the verse concerns a king. Jehoshaphat was the fourth king of Judah. You will remember perhaps that in 931 BC, the kingdom divided, that is the kingdom of Israel, and the 10 tribes in the north of the country broke away from the 2 tribes in the south, and there became a division between Israel and Judah. Rehoboam, who had been largely responsible for the division, Solomon's son, was succeeded by a man called Abijam in Judah, and then Asa, and then his son, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat reigned from 873 to 848 BC. And he was known for adherence to God's law, and in consequence he removed a great deal of the pagan idolatry that was in the land. The worship of other gods practically ceased. But his ministry wasn't wholly negative, it was also positive, and he provided itinerant preachers and teachers who went throughout the land, mentioned in this very chapter, preaching the word of God and calling the people back to God and to his truth. Jehoshaphat had a real sense of God's favor with him. It's mentioned in verse 3, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Even as Jehoshaphat walked in the very first ways, that is, before his sin and fall, the first ways of David, he walked in the first ways of David, his father. He was a prayerful man, by all accounts, and it said here he sought to the Lord God of his father. And his was a very practical faith, because having sought God in prayer, he walked in his commandments, not after the doings of Israel. And thus he was able to establish his kingdom, and he was able to instill in many of the people the fear of God. But one particularly noteworthy thing is said of good King Jehoshaphat. I must have read it many times, but it struck me with force in this past week. It is there in verse 6. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. 3 things I want to consider this morning. The first is a good heart. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. The second is what I would call a spiritual lift. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And thirdly, after a good heart, a spiritual lift, a prescribed way. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. First of all, then, a good heart. We have come across this before in our studies and have already asked the question, what does the Bible mean by heart? Well, heart has reference not to the physical organ in our bodies, but to the inmost part of us. Heart is used in that way in a very general sense in Scripture, for example, with reference to the Exodus passing through the sea. In Exodus 15, there is mention made of the heart of the sea. It means the very depths of the sea. With reference to Jonah being 3 days in the great fish's belly, it is said in the New Testament that so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the heart of the earth, by which it means deep in the earth, buried, as though never to rise again. So what is the heart of man? Well, it's that which is deep within him, his innermost self. And that's why Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 speaks of the inward man. That's the man within, as opposed to the outward man. And it's why Peter in 1 Peter 3 speaks of the hidden man of the heart. So what is it that is deep within us, which is the man within? Well, it is apparent that the reference is to the soul. Which means the real person. The person who thinks, the person who desires, the person who chooses. The body doesn't do these things. It's the heart of man that does these things. It's the soul. His heart. With Jehoshaphat, it wasn't something outward and something formal, but deep within him, he wanted to walk in God's way. Now, this heart is the most important part of us. That is why Scripture, when it speaks of people like those that went down to Egypt, it says the number of souls. So people are sometimes called by this inner person within for one reason and one reason alone, because that is the most important part of them. And it's the fountain of all that we think, all that we speak, and all that we do. Solomon says in Proverbs 4, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything which happens in our lives is conceived in our hearts. Christ could speak to the people of his day. And he says, out of the heart of man proceeds all evil. And he speaks of adultery, murder. Whence come these things? From the heart. They are devised in the heart. But he also speaks of the man who, from the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. Because he thinks spiritually, he brings forth spiritual words, spiritual actions out of his heart. Our members are not agents, they are mere instruments. The eye does what the heart devises. The mouth speaks what the heart considers and proposes. And the whole body moves at the motion of the heart, the movement of the heart. So we've identified the heart, and we can stress the importance of the heart. But then on account of sin, the heart is set upon wrong things. The heart has been adversely affected by sin. It has been impaired and spoiled, no longer functioning as God intended in creation. So the scripture says that the heart is full of covetous thoughts. In other words, the heart inclines to the creature now and not to the Creator, the world, and not to Almighty God. It minds earthly things, not heavenly things. So the heart is in a state of malfunction because of sin. And if ever the heart is to be as Jehoshaphat's, in that his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord, it has to be changed. This was intimated in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 30, Moses said to the people, "The Lord thy God shall circumcise thine heart. He will perform an operation on your heart so that a profound change will be made within you." In the prophecy of Ezekiel in chapter 36, God promises, "I will give them a new heart and a new spirit." And God is able graciously to do that. He's in the business of changing hearts. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, everything is become new. And if the heart is renewed, then we shall walk in newness of life. Because we shall think differently, speak differently, live differently. Everything depends upon the heart. So how does God change the heart? He changes it by the instrumentality of his word coming to us, but particularly by the agency of his spirit. And it is the spirit of God within us which makes all things new, which weakens the old inclinations which are bad, and who bestows upon us new inclinations which are good. He creates a new frame of heart. What a wonderful thing it is, the renewal of the Holy Ghost. Men made new. Now God takes account of the hearts of men. We remember Samuel's word when about to choose a new king for the people of God. He said, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. And that is what God is concerned with most of all, because true religion will emanate from that source alone. If the heart isn't right, the life won't be right. So God looks at the source. He looks upon the heart. And what is a good heart? Which I have said Jehoshaphat had. I say that because of what follows, the reference to the heart here. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. A good heart is a heart which is open to God. Of Lydia it was said, her heart the Lord opened. A good heart will be a prayerful heart. Behold, he prayeth. That's the evidence of a change of heart. And a good heart will be a heart that treasures God's word. Thy word, says the psalmist, have I hid in mine heart, that I sin not against thee. And a good heart will choose in preference to its former way, the way of God, as outlined in the scriptures. And if such a good heart is in us, then it will be the source of much good. Out of the treasure of his heart, the godly man will bring forth good. Friends, do you have a changed heart? Has God worked in you a work which is wonderful in your eyes? Has God changed you inwardly, so that the difference appears to others? Formerly you had no time for God, now you seek him. Formerly you dishonored him, but now you esteem him. Formerly you disobeyed him, and now you hear his dictates and observe. Do you have the evidences of a good heart? A good heart. Secondly, a spiritual lift. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. It's a very unusual expression because something similar is used in the historical books from time to time, and it nearly always occurs in a bad sense. A man's heart being lifted up with pride, with arrogance. As you remember, was the heart of Hezekiah in the day of his sad backsliding. But it's not so here. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And what exactly does that mean? Well, there is a verse in the Psalms which might come to our aid here. In Psalm 131 and verse 1, David says, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me." Now I concede that it is used in a bad sense here, as mentioned earlier, but it gives us a little clue as to what it means. My heart is not haughty. The Hebrew is, my heart is not lifted up. To exercise itself in great matters or in things too high for me. It means my heart is not raised to be carried after high and great things. David means it's humble. But the lifting up of the heart means that it is raised and carried forward to achieve something. Jehoshaphat's heart was lifted up. It wasn't inactive. It wasn't slothful. It was raised up. And it was aspiring after something good. It sought the service of God, the worship of God, the things of God. It minded spiritual things. It was taken up with spiritual things. It wasn't indifferent to them, laid back, relaxed, unconcerned, but his heart was lifted up toward God and towards his kingdom, towards his will, towards his service, towards consecration to him. A spiritual lift indeed. But it means more than that. It means that there was in Jehoshaphat a great love for the things of God. For we beg the question here, why was it lifted up after God and the things of God? And the answer must be because the bent of the heart was toward God and the things of God. That's what he desired. That's what he loved. Yes, it was lifted up. But the reason why it was lifted up is love for God. Love for his truth. Love for his people. Love for his kingdom. And therefore, he sought after these things with great diligence, and he pursued them with great earnestness. Do you remember how Jesus summed up the law? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. The heart has got to be stirred. The heart has to be moved and involved. And this man's heart was lifted up in intention, born of devotion. He loved the Lord. And therefore, he loved to walk with him. And he loved to be with him. And he loved to obey him. His heart was lifted up. It carries more than what I have said. It carries the thought of zeal and courage. Jehoshaphat lived in a sad and sorrowful day when religion was in universal decline. The influence of Israel in the north was evil. And Judah was besieged, as it were, by wickedness. And that didn't stop Jehoshaphat in an unbelieving, godless day, a day of lawlessness, a day of gross disregard for the law of God. It didn't stop his heart being lifted up to a better life. Out of love to God, with zeal and with courage, despite the climate, despite the environment, his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Joshua, be thou strong and very courageous, and the Lord thy God shall be with thee. Our Savior said, zeal for thy house hath consumed me. Paul writes to the Christians and he says, it is good to be zealously affected. Despite the negativity on every side, Jehoshaphat's heart was lifted up. Well, my friends, is that true of your heart? Do you have a passion for God? Is that the meaning and significance of your life? To know him and to serve him. Is your heart in that? All your desire? All your delight in that? To live the Christian life, your heart being lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And do you evidence a zeal for the spread of his gospel, for the extension of his kingdom? What are you doing for him at this present time? I think every member needs to ask that. Your calling, my friend, is not to sit in the pew and listen to the minister each week. That is not the all-in-all of your calling. That will help you. That will direct you. But the end is to serve the Lord Christ. If you are doing nothing for evangelism, if you do nothing to support the spread of the gospel, if you are not involved with your gifts in strengthening this church, what are you? Or more to the point, what's in you? We are told to make our calling and election sure. A man with a good heart, if it is possible, will be at the prayer meeting, because that's where his heart is. A man with a good heart will be at the church meeting, if it's possible. That's where his heart is. A man with a good heart will be with the mission and with the evangelism of the church, because that's where his heart is. The spread of the gospel, the increase of God's glory, the coming of the kingdom. That's where his heart is. Jehoshaphat, nobleman, his heart was lifted up. A good heart, a spiritual lift, and thirdly, a prescribed way. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. It wasn't to do his own thing. It was to do what God had revealed. He hath shown thee, O man, what is right, and what the Lord doth require of thee. And it's all inscripturated in the volume of this book. The ways of the Lord. They are prescribed in Scripture. The ways of obedience. The ways of pure worship. The ways of godly service. It is all written down, that even a fool cannot err. And these ways are the ways of holiness. As I close, let me say this. They're not only ways of the Lord because prescribed, but they are ways of the Lord because into them he leads us by his Spirit. And in those ways, when we walk in them, he accompanies us and grants his presence. And as we walk in those ways, he blesses us in our hearts, in keeping of them is great reward. The ways of the Lord, revealed by him, taken by him himself, who will be your companion, and blessed by him, so that you will never know the joys of God and the blessing of the Christian life unless you are found in his ways. The favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. These are the only ways. And the man or woman found in these ways will find they are ways of pleasantness and paths of peace. They lead to happiness in this life, and they lead to blessedness in the life to come. They are the best ways. And I can say before God that if I had 1,000 lives to live, each and every life would be devoted to the ways of the Lord. A good heart, a spiritual lift, a prescribed way. My dear friend, walk with Jehoshaphat. Walk with the noble company of the godly in every age. Walk in the ways of the Lord until your traveling days are done, and you will find yourself in the house of the Lord forever. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. There he is. Follow him and find God's goodness and his mercy. Amen.